Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
We're not just here warming up the seats, you know. We're here for Jesus to come and meet us. And so I have a story. One Sunday at church, a minister decided that a visual demonstration would add emphasis to his Sunday sermon. So the preacher placed four worms into four separate jars. The first worm contained a container of alcohol. The second worm was put into a container of cigarette smoke. The third worm was put into a container of chocolate syrup. The fourth worm was put into a container of good, clean soil. Evidently, I've been in some of those containers. Anyway, at the conclusion of the sermon, the preacher reported the following results. The first worm in alcohol, dead. The second worm in cigarette smoke, dead. The third worm in chocolate syrup, dead. The fourth worm in good, clean soil, alive and thriving, right? So the minister asked the congregation, "So friends," he says, "what did you learn from this demonstration?" And Maxine, sitting on the back row, raised her hand real quick, and she said, "As long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms." Anyway, that's what we get when we listen to some random preacher preaching. But we're here this morning to listen to Jesus, his story. And so as we sing this morning together, pray together, hear God's word together, we're not just leaning in for some kind of human word. We're leaning in, Jesus, for your word. Jesus, come and meet us today. Come and love us. Lord, we're going to put words on the screen that are your words. Lord, we're going to pray your truth. We're going to hear your story this morning. So God, just meet us here. There's a lot of great stories, a lot of great movies, a lot of great books. But it's you, Lord, and your story that we need to receive and welcome this morning. Be here, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Y'all, thank you for being here. If you're new to St. Luke's, we're really glad you're here. If you've been coming for forever, we're really glad you're here. And let's just, you know, I love the way, I think it's E. Stanley Jones, he said it, if I belong to Jesus and you belong to Jesus, then we belong to each other. I pray that you find a home here at St. Luke's. Let God work and minister in us today.
Good morning. It is fourth Sunday, and so this is the Sunday that we pick up the kids' mission offering. So if I can get any kiddos who want to come help us, there are buckets over here on the stage, and there are buckets over here on the stage. So y'all can come grab some, and y'all go up and down all the aisles. We'll take change. We'll take bills. We'll take checks. You can Venmo me. You can do it however you want to make it happen. We started doing this last year in 2022, and so I just want to go over a few things that we were able to accomplish with the money that the kids collected for the whole year. Our first mission project, we made 125 backpacks for the people who came to a meal night at Co-op Church downtown with Bibles, hygiene products, and snacks. We were able to serve two meals at Co-op during the year. We purchased 9 pair of shoes for the Cooper North Pirate Pantry. We purchased about a million. We had some pictures, but maybe we don't have those. Okay. The reason I say that is because the amount of hygiene products that we purchased, the picture is the only thing that will do that justice. And a bunch of snacks for their pirate pantry as well. We did a hot cocoa bar for the teachers at North Elementary at Christmas time. And then we had a little bit of money left over at the end of the year. And so for our last donation at the end of the year, we were able to provide food for one child for a week at Buckner. And so this is something that the kids do completely on their own. They are coming and getting the money from you. When I say we purchased, we took about 18 kids to Target one day during the Thanksgiving break. And a couple of very, very, very brave volunteers helped me out. And the kids did all the shopping. They picked it all out on their own. And so this has just been something. And then we deliver to co-op, and we deliver to the schools. And so this has been something that the kids have really gotten involved in and has been really good. So that is what we have done. Maybe we'll show you all the pictures next time. Oh, there it is. Okay. There is, that was our Target shopping trip right there. And I think we had some pictures maybe of them in Target too. It was a lot of fun. But that said, kiddos, if y'all want to grab those buckets and head into Grace Kids while I pray for our offerings, the baskets for your tithes and offerings are around the room, and you can also give online as well. I'm going to let them grab those. All right. Dear Lord, thank you so much for all the opportunities to give, Lord. Sometimes I feel like we forget that, you know, this money is really about you and what you do in the world, God. And sometimes we just need to see that it's about sending it all back to you so that you can send it out into the world to bless others, Lord. It's what we're called to do, but we call it an opportunity to give because it provides so many things for so many people, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ashley. What Ashley didn't tell you is that we had to create a whole new budget line item just for this project. It's awesome. So, the kids, man, when they start coming around for that second little, you know, and that third little, I'm out of money. I only have receipts left in my wallet. But anyway, all right, let's stand together here and receive God's word this morning. This is just one of the stories of Jesus. Okay. This is the Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And Jesus began to teach by the lake. And the crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and he sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. And he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching he said, listen, A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds swooped down and ate it up. And some fell on the rocky places where it didn't have much soil, so it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up and the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, weeds, which grew up and choked out the plant so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on the good soil. And it came up and grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, and even 100 times. And then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him, let her hear. Lord Jesus, this morning we need to hear your voice. Lord Jesus, we believe that your word is alive and active. And so as we've read this word and heard it, Lord, I pray this morning that we receive not just it, but you. So come, O farmer God, and sow your seed in this house today. In your name we pray, amen. Y'all can be seated. So before we get into Jesus' story this morning, let's take a look at the context for this story in the Gospel of Mark. So three observations about the context of Jesus' story. Again, you know, if we just pull that out and not understand it in how it's written in the rest of the Gospel, we probably miss some of the insight that God wants for us. So first observation about the context of this story is that we see that Jesus' teaching was central. Jesus' teaching was primary, essential, crucial to Jesus' ministry. When you look at Jesus' ministry, now it's certain, right? We've all read the Gospels, heard the stories. It's certain that Jesus healed the sick. It's certain that Jesus set the captives free. Jesus performed all kinds of miracles. Jesus forgave sin. Jesus raised the dead. Jesus died and rose for us. All that's true, yes, right? But also true, surely true, is that Jesus' ministry was all about his teaching and preaching. So go back and look at Mark chapter 4. This is the very beginning of his ministry. It says this, Mark chapter 1, I'm sorry. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, you got to love this. If Jesus had to pray, then what about you and me? If Jesus is the only perfect Son of God there's ever been, the only perfect person that's ever lived on planet Earth, if he had to pray, then what about us? Anyway. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they said, "Lord, where are you, man? Where you been? Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. For that is why I have come." I'm just curious this morning, how many of you prayed for a football player named Damar Hamlin a couple of weeks ago? We have his pick, right? How many of y'all prayed for him? Is that all? Man, it's central, like we did. It was like, I prayed for him. I'm going to ask again, how many of y'all prayed for Damar Hamlin? All right, good. Okay, all right. Anyway, on the y'all know this happened on Monday Night Football, right? It was Buffalo Bills, Cincinnati Bengals. On the Tuesday afternoon after Damar's injury, on the ESPN show NFL Live, Joe Orlovsky prayed a prayer on live TV because he said in his heart, he just knew we're supposed to pray for Damar, and we're supposed to pray for Damar right now. So we have this, a 50-second prayer. Y'all watch this.
I've heard it all day, like thoughts and prayers. And you just heard Scherf and Jonathan Allen say, like, all we can do is pray for him. And I've heard the Buffalo Bills organization say that we believe in prayer. And maybe this is not the right thing to do, but it's just on my heart that I want to pray for
it is.
Damar Hamlin right now. I'm going to do it out loud. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to bow my head, and I'm just going to pray for him. God, we come to you in these moments that we don't understand, that are hard, because we believe that you're God, and coming to you and praying to you has impact. We're sad, we're angry, and we want answers, but some things are unanswerable. We just want to pray, truly come to you and pray for strength for Damar, for healing for Damar, for comfort for Damar, to be with his family, to give them peace. If we didn't believe that prayer didn't work, we wouldn't ask this of you, God. I believe in prayer. We believe in prayer. We lift up Damar Hamlin's name in your name. Amen.
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 It's beautiful.
Respectfully.
Now, y'all, that prayer was prayed from one of the most secular, politically correct media organizations in the world. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, "God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but he shouts to us in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world." Now, I don't know if you really like that quote or not, but I think we understand it. On Thursday, it was January 2nd when Damar had his injury. On Thursday, January 5th, when news broke first about Damar being, quote unquote, neurologically intact, the female news anchor, I don't even know her name, on ESPN, she just paused and she just stopped and she said, "God is so good." And she meant it. Later that night, when Coach Sean McDermott and Josh Allen had a press conference, Coach McDermott spent a lot of time giving thanks to the first responders, medical professionals, doctors, and nurses from the University of Cincinnati Medical Center. And then McDermott said, he said, "Finally, and most importantly," he said, "I want to give glory to God for holding Damar and his family in the palm of his hand. Glory to God for his healing powers." That was on ESPN2, by the way. I spent some time that week, a couple weeks ago, observing myself and observing my favorite sport and observing our nation. And it's obvious. In that injury and in that season, in that week, we we wanted God's power. We wanted God's provision. But my question, even in the middle of all that was going on that week, was, were we also open and desiring of his truth and his purpose? You see, we ultimately will never have one without the other. We don't get to pick and choose which characteristics of Jesus we're most into. We choose all of him or we get none of him. Once, you know, in Jesus, right, when in his day, when once Jesus healed the sick and once Jesus cast out those demons and once Jesus fed the multitudes, everybody just wanted a piece of it. I mean, the crowds, they flocked to him. Everybody wanted Jesus on their terms. But here again, the words of Jesus as he's whipping up on Satan out in the wilderness. He's been tempted by Satan, and Jesus is, he's been fasting 40 days. And Jesus says this in Matthew 4, man, humanity shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread and all the stuff of this world and all the things in our desires. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, Jesus, that's why he was teaching and preaching, because he knew that life wasn't found in all of this. It was found in the very voice of God, the very word of God made real in our lives. Second observation about the context of Jesus' story this morning is that large crowds listened to Jesus. Again, go back and look at Mark chapter 1. This is verse 21 through 27. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue, and he began to teach. And the people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, as a man in their synagogue was possessed with an evil spirit, he cried out, "What do you want to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." You got to love that the only folks who really knew who Jesus were the demon-possessed. That's just a little scary. Jesus says, "Be quiet. Come out of him." And the evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. And the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him." Jesus taught them as one who had authority. Jesus didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk. You didn't just hear it from him, you saw it with him. Jesus had both truth and power. He offered both information and transformation from God and of God for the people. It was clear to the people of Jesus' day that God was up to something. And so it's almost as if they were on, their own tippy toes, to both hear and see what God was doing. The people were hungry. Hungry for God's truth. There had been no prophetic word spoken or heard in Israel for over 400 years. And so they listened and they feasted on the teaching of Jesus. So I wonder, how hungry for Jesus are we today? In our modern day 24/7 news cycle with social media so pervasive, we have so many words and so much information that seemingly there are no words that have any weight, any substance to make any real difference in our lives. This is what God's word says about the last days. We just had Sunday school talking about the second coming of Jesus this morning. So this is 2 Timothy 4:3. "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, their own fancies, they will gather around them a great number of teachers who to say what their itching ears want to hear." You see, for far too long, so many preachers, so many pastors have been so busy trying to get people to like what they hear, that what they hear no longer matters. I still believe that when we let God's work be experienced and be done among us, and we let God's word be powerfully proclaimed unto us, that people will once again become hungry for both God's word and God's work, both God's truth and his presence. Third observation about the context of Jesus' story is that Jesus used parables. He used parables to communicate God's truth. A parable literally means like a metaphor or a comparison, an analogy. Parables, here's our definition this morning. Parables were a way to convey moral transcendent principles in a relatable story that people could understand and apply to their lives. Jesus has all this truth about who God is, and he wants to make it real for the people that he's talking to. That's all a parable is. So now, let's listen again with open ears and open hearts. Let's listen again to Jesus tell his story, his parable to us. Mark chapter 4. And Jesus said, listen, hear this. Give me your attention. Listen. But what I'm fixing to say to you really matters, right? Listen. A farmer went out to sow. A farmer went out to sow his seed. A farmer, okay? So right now, right here in this story, Jesus has now already effectively entered into their world. Now Jesus is speaking their language. Now Jesus is on their turf. Now Jesus is communicating truth at a level that they can understand, because now he's talking about farmers. Now, by the way, he could walk right here in West Texas and tell this story too, couldn't he? Okay, back to the story. So as the farmer was scattering the seed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And some seed fell on rocky places, and it didn't have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was so shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns and the weeds, and the thorns and the weeds grew up and choked up the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, it grew, and it produced a crop, some multiplying 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. Then Jesus says, she who has ears to hear. We all got ears, right? He who has ears to hear, let them hear. You see, the ability to hear is not about how smart you are. It's not about how spiritual you are. It's not about how churched you are. It's not about how old you are. But rather, the ability to hear is about how open you are, how available you are, how receptive you are to Jesus and his word. So in this story, it's obvious that, right, that the farmer matters. The sower matters. And God the sower, God the farmer, he is sowing seed all over the place, on the path, in the rocks, in the weeds. Now, y'all, we know farmers. Are any of our farmers here this morning? I'm looking. None of our, okay, yes, retired farmer. Once a farmer, always a farmer, right? Anyway, what kind of farmer does this? Who sows seeds on concrete or on the, you know, on the turn road? That's not where we sow. Who's sowing seed out in the middle of on some rocky hill? But you see, in this story, we're not talking about just any old farmer. We're talking about God the farmer. So in this story, God's grace, God's truth, is not just for a select group of folks. Not even just for the few of us who are here this morning, right? But for the hundreds of thousands who aren't. God's truth and God's grace, not just for a select group, but for all kinds of heart soil. Hearts that are hard, too hard. Hearts that are shallow. Hearts that are worldly. Our God sows the seeds of his word to any and all persons. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And so God the farmer sows his seed all over the place, looking for receptivity and life in each and every one of us, even this very morning. He's sowing his seed in the songs that we've sung, in the prayers that we prayed, in the word that you're hearing. He's sowing his seed. In this story, it's also obvious that the soil matters. The soil matters, right? Four kinds of soil. There's the hard, pathy soil. There's the shallow, rocky soil. There's the weedy, thorny soil. There's the good soil. So here, that hard, pathy soil, that's the seed that is sown on the hard path, the hard turn row, right? And that seed, you sow seed on concrete, it just lays there. On the turn row, it's like, that. I'm trying to think of the turn rows, the caliche turn rows, whatever they are, just lays there. The seed can't penetrate the resistance and hardness of heart. And so Satan just swoops down and he just takes that seed away. And then, y'all, there's the shallow, rocky soil. And that's the seed that's sown in the shallow, rocky soil, that dirt, right? It's dirt. And the seed goes in the dirt, but just barely. And it even has a little bit of depth, and so as a result, it has a little bit of growth. And Jesus says in Mark 4 that the word that is sown on rocky places is heard, and it's at once received with joy, but since it doesn't have roots, since it can't go deeper, that plant only lasts for a short time. And when trouble or persecution come, right, because of the word, what happens to the plant? The seed, it just goes away. Then there's the weedy, thorny soil. This is the seed that's sown in with weeds all around it, and it goes into the soil. It even gets some depth, and then it has growth. I mean, it's growing. It might even have produced a little bit of fruit. But then the weeds come, the thorns come, and Jesus says it gets the life choked out of the plant. Jesus defined the weeds in Mark 4 as the worries of this life. Anybody got those? The deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things, the stuff, the things of this world coming. Ugh, that's the imagery. Choke the life out of the plant. And then, y'all, there's the good soil. The seed that's sown in the good soil, the productive soil, it goes deep. It takes root. It gets down into the moisture flow, and it grows and it grows and grows, and then it produces an amazing, unheard of, exponential harvest, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. By the way, this cotton crop's down by Tahoka. Yeah, that's a pretty good-looking cotton crop, isn't it? Question for the farmer, anybody. Guess how much a really good cotton plant, if you, from one seed, guess how many bolls on a really good cotton plant you get? Anybody? I mean, now 2023 farming, 20 bolls would be really good multiplication. But in this story, in the first century, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That there's only one way you could ever have that kind of multiplication in the first century, and that was by divine and miraculous provision and intervention. It doesn't happen normally. It was just impossible. But the good soil, with the hands of the farmer in the soil, with the water coming from the farmer, with the pulling of weeds from the farmer, with the taking care of the plant from the farmer, that kind of multiplication was possible. The good soil that Jesus wants us to be, the good and amazing crop that Jesus wants us to bear forth, it is impossible apart from Him. It's impossible apart from His work and His Spirit. You know, Jesus says, you know, He is the vine and we're the branches. And apart from Him, we can do nothing. Now, y'all, there are four soils in this story. And there's obviously only one soil that Jesus wants us to be, right? What soil? Test time. What kind of soil does He want us to be? The good soil. So the question facing Jesus' hearers 2,000 years ago, and the question facing Jesus' hearers this very morning, is what kind of soil are you? What kind of dirt is your heart? Here are the picks again. Is your heart this morning hard and pathy? I mean, I have a really good friend right now whose heart is just so hurt, so hard, so resistant. He has no idea when God is sowing seed in his life. He's completely just misses out when God does something good for him. It's like, here comes the seed. Boom! It's just bouncing. And more often than not, it just seems that he just misses completely the seeds that are being sown in his life. This morning, if you're hard, maybe you've been hurt. I mean, maybe life's not the way you want it to be. Maybe you're blaming God for some stuff that's going on in your life. If your heart is hard, I'm going to pray. God, I just pray right now. I pray right now for that hard heart. I pray that you bring out your tandem disc and you just begin to plow that heart and till that soil until that soil becomes soft and receptive to the seeds and the goodness you want to plant in their life. Do whatever it takes, Lord. for that hard heart to become soft and receptive to you. And y'all, the second soil is the shallow soil, the rocky soil. This is folks who, you know, they're willing to hear Jesus and even respond to Jesus every now and then, but there's just no depth. There's just no depth to your faith, right? Seeds going in every now and then, shoop, whoop, right? This is how we grew up doing Christianity in Lorenzo, where I grew up. We'd have a revival, a church camp. We were getting saved, but never getting different. I'll always remember coming home from church camp, one-way camp, when I was 17 years old, between my junior and senior year, and my best friend, Greg, I always remember we were working out in the weight room, and I just told Greg about what God had done in my life, how I'd surrendered who I was to who Jesus was. I'd surrendered my whole life to Jesus, and Greg said, he said, "That's all right, Andy. You'll get over it." Not yet. Not yet. Shallow soil. If that's you this morning, you may have moments of receptivity, but you've never let the word of Jesus go deep. The call of Jesus penetrate to the depth of your being. So if that's you this morning, and you know your spiritual life is more like a yo-yo than it has been about this journey, this adventure into the very presence of God. Lord, I pray for all of us who are dealing with shallow soil in our hearts. Lord, I just pray that you come and bring in your backhoe. Just start removing all the rocks, all the impediments, all the things that are in the way from your seed going deep within us. Send the rock removers one by one to get rid of this hardness and this shallowness, and let those seeds, Lord, let them go deep, deep into our hearts. Into our hearts that we've known you, but we've known you as an acquaintance. We haven't known you as a deep, intimate friend. God, plant your seed deep into our shallow hearts. Get rid of the rocks and bring out the plows and soften us up. The third soil is the weedy soil. And this is the story of so many of us. I mean, we're here, aren't we? I mean, aren't we? I mean, oh, by the way, we are one percentile in our city right now. 1% of Lubbock, Texas is probably worshiping Jesus. And we're it, right? This is the story, this weedy soil. It's the story of nominal and casual Christianity where we have received the word. We've even grown in our faith, but we've never, ever, ever produced any kind of multiplying harvest. Because if the truth be told, other things are just doggone it more important to us than Jesus. Our jobs, our families, our bank accounts, our political parties, our sports, our hobbies, that stuff just more important. Means more to us. It gets our attention. It gets us. And as great as all those things are, they don't give life. They suck life. They take life. Only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Only Jesus can fill you up. If that's you, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for us. Jesus, I pray for the weedy, thorny among us. I pray that you would come and cultivate us. That you would come and show us all the stuff that has our heart instead of you. And that you would just bring your hoe or bring your Roundup or bring your loving weed-pulling hands and just begin to pull the weeds. God, begin to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Begin to free us from all that has us bound. Come, Lord. We don't want to just grow. We want our ground to be ground that doesn't just grow a plant, but a plant ground that produces fruit. So this morning, if it's your heart to be good soil, I just say to you again, that can only happen through miraculous provision. It can only happen when you let the supernatural break into your natural. It can only happen when you let the Spirit of Jesus become alive and real in your lives. It can only happen, the water, you're drinking. But it can only happen when you set your heart, when you set your life upon Jesus. Y'all, this morning, I want to ask you to just invite the farmer God to come and sow seed into your heart. But really, I want to ask you to let farmer God do the work that needs to be done in your heart. God, get rid of our hardness. God, don't let us stay shallow. God, come yank the weeds and the crud and the yuck of this world out of us and let us be that good soil. Lord, we understand, we know, we believe. Being good soil is not so much about us. It's about what we let you do in us. So come, Lord. Come, oh, farmer God. Take care of your dirt. Take care of your land so that we will bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And it won't just be us that gets changed, but this world in which we live, it won't just be us that receive you, Lord, but we'll begin to sow seed everywhere we go. Lord, I pray that for this, your church. I pray that for every single person here today. Make us that good soil. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Y'all, can you just, we're the dwelling place. The God of all creation, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the one who reigns above all. Guess where he lives? Right here. I mean, if we're the vessel, if we're the dwelling place, right? Have you let him come? Not a little bit, not halfway, but have you let him come all the way into this dwelling place, into that soil? Man, he'll make you good soil. But he's not driving his John Deere tractor and tandem disc out there until you say, come on, Lord. And by the way, this morning as we go, I want to ask you, do you have the Holy Spirit? Is he full and overflowing in your life? And by the way, not just do you have the Holy Spirit, y'all, but does the Holy Spirit have you? Have you let him fill this dwelling place with his presence, his love, his forgiveness, his grace, his power? This morning I want to ask, as we go forth, hold hands if you're willing. Depends who you're sitting by, right? Lord Jesus, we're holding on to each other as a symbol of us holding on to you. Lord, we don't go out into this world on our own. We go as the body of Christ, the Christ-centered family of grace who have received your presence here. And now we go forth to share that presence, that love with the world that so desperately needs you, Jesus. So, Lord, we're hanging on to each other. We share our trust in and hanging on to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you.